Hello, and thanks for joining me once again for the Shifting Perspectives podcast. My name is Richard Bailey, and today I'm joined by Ian Richardson. Hi, Ian.
Hi, Richard.
Ian has a son called Aaron, who is 6 years old and has Down syndrome. If we could start off, Ian, maybe you could tell us a little bit about Aaron, what makes him laugh and smile, and what are his strengths?
Yeah, of course. He is very funny, very cheeky, and his favourite thing in the world is just being around people, especially around his family. So he's got, there's Nicole and I have both been married before, so we're a bit of a blended family. So altogether there's 6 children, but only 4 that live at home. He loves being around his older brothers and sisters. They make him laugh loads. He's got a bit of a wicked sense of humour. He's quite well known at school for having a bit of a wicked sense of humour. He loves a bit of slapstick. He just loves being around people. He's a very, very sociable little fella.
Lovely. And he's at primary school now. I mean, is that a mainstream primary school or a special needs primary school?
It's a mainstream primary school, yeah.
And how did you find that? Did you find that easy to find the school? How were the head teachers, or was it just the closest one near to you?
It was quite a struggle, actually. We looked around a lot. We work with schools. Nicole and I, my wife and I, run a business and we work with schools. And I went into the school he's actually at, having been to lots of schools. The experience in most of them was usually from head teachers, was so asking us the question as his parents, what do you want us to do with him? We were never going to send him somewhere that kind of asked us that question, if you know what I mean, we were kind of waiting on them to tell us, and we went to one school. I'd actually had a meeting with them, and when I was there, I looked around and I thought, there's something special about this place, and it wasn't near where we lived at the time. So I said to Nicole, maybe this is somewhere that we should have a little look at, and we went and had a look around, and they said something which was, and they've been true to their word on it, actually. They said, you know, he's going to be loved, he's going to be accepted, he'll be part of everything, and he'll get a really good education as well. And
perfect. It's always about the people and what they say, isn't it?
Yeah, and they have absolutely nailed it. You know, we've had a few bumps along the road, but he is right in the thick of everything. He's got friends. He loves school, loves it.
Lovely. And I mean, there's a little way off yet, but I mean, is there secondary schools in the area? Have you sort of looked that far ahead, or are you just kind of enjoying the time at the moment?
We're mostly just enjoying the time at the moment, I think. We're reasonably aware, because of the work we do, we're reasonably aware of the schools in the area. He actually, where he is now, he's got 2 teaching assistants, 2 one-to-ones. So one of them works with him one-to-one in the morning, and the other one works with him one-to-one in the afternoon. And there was a little boy who has Down syndrome who left the year that Aaron started. So those one-to-ones that were working with another little boy became Aaron's one-to-one. So that worked out brilliantly. So we're kind of keeping an eye on things to see if that is going to be an appropriate path. But I think our attitude is always to say, look, what's Aaron going to achieve? We'll just see things as they crop up.
Just have to monitor it as you go along. I know when Billy Jo was going through school, we were always looking at where the mainstream was correct for her, or the right school for her, and it turned out that it was. But did you find it easy? I know that boroughs and councils are different all around the country. Did you find it easy to get a statement and get help, if you like?
No, we didn't.
I don't think many people
definitely
do,
not.
Do they?
We spoke to the Down Syndrome Association at one point, actually, and they were really helpful. We were really struggling, because actually what had happened, we were looking around and we weren't allowed to go and look around any special needs schools until he has a statement, is an EHCP. Weren't actually allowed to go and look around, but there was no chance of that happening before he went to primary school. However, that was set up with the local authority, it basically meant that you were kind of stuck in a bit of limbo. Until the preschool that he was at, who were wonderful, stepped in and bumped a few heads together and made it happen quite quickly. It all worked out very well. He got a place where we wanted him to go, but it was a bit of a battle getting to that point. There was a plan, a statement put in place before he started school, but then of course it's been reworked since then.
Changed as it goes on.
Yeah.
So going back in time to when Aaron was born, do you remember what it was like when you first learned that he had Down syndrome? I mean, how did you find it out? Who told you the news? And what do you know now that you wish that you'd known then?
Yeah, it's a hard story, isn't it? You know, it's
yeah.
Because it's we didn't know before he was born.
No.
He arrived very well, very healthily. Can still picture him very clearly. He's got really funny little floppy ears that are gorgeous, and he has a scrunched up little face. He looked a bit like Winston Churchill when he was first born. And we just obviously couldn't take our eyes off him. Gorgeous. And then we were all gearing up to go home, wanting to get out of there as quickly as possible, really. And there was a changeover of midwife. The midwife that came in did the kind of final checks before we went home. And she said, I just want to check something with the doctor. So she went off, doctor came in. Doctor poked and prodded him a little bit and said, yes, I have to agree with my colleague. He has a slightly thick set back of the neck.
Yeah.
And said, so we think it's possible he might have Down syndrome. I think at that point we kind of didn't know what to do with ourselves because they just said it. There was talk of blood tests, and then there was a moment where they said, "You can come with us, and he can have his bloods." And this is the bit I still struggle with a little bit, where I had a moment where I paused, where I thought, "What am I meant to do? What am I supposed to be doing now?" They've just said these words. I don't really know what they mean. And I think it was only a couple of seconds, where I was almost unable to act.
Yeah.
But very quickly got a grip and went, well, gosh, of course I'm going with him. You know,
yeah.
Of course I'm going with him. Went with him, had his bloods done. Went home. We literally only told a couple of people, and then a week later that we got the call, and they said yes, we confirm it is Down syndrome. But then actually. Yeah. Nobody did anything wrong. We think actually after that we had a really good experience, and we know that's not necessarily the case. It's not often the case, is it? But we actually had a really good experience because when we went in the next day to go and see the doctor, who would kind of talk everything through with us. He said, we don't know what this means for Aaron. And there's lots of things we could talk about, but actually we don't really know what this means for Aaron. So we're going to take one day at a time, and everything that crops up, we're going to deal with it as it crops up, and we're going to assume he's going to hit every milestone, and he's going to do everything that you would expect him to do. And that was really, really helpful because it just took so much of the sting out of everything.
Did you have any notion about what Down syndrome was then? Or, I mean, have you had any experiences of it or of special needs in any way?
I think we both would say, so we're obviously aware of Down syndrome, but that's basically just a very low level awareness. There was a young lad when I was growing up, a different age group to me, at our church when I was growing up, who had Down syndrome, and I can sort of remember him. Yeah. That's about it, really. I think what we immediately thought was, well, what does that mean for things like school, college, marriage, children? What's our life like now? How do you tell people? There's a million things that go through your mind really quickly. Yeah.
Is there anything that you know now that you wish that you'd known then?
Yeah, I think I wish I'd known that it's not the label you maybe put on it, you know, in terms of the restrictions that we automatically assume are going to happen. So what doctor said to us and said, we don't know what this means. That was really insightful. It was very wise because there's so many different things that it can perhaps mean, but not automatically mean, you know. And Aaron is so capable, and he's very self-driven, and, you know, he just wants to go and do everything. And I think we'd have wished... I wish we'd have known more about the true picture of what actually life's like. You know, that's not to say for one second that it's easy. You know, there's lots of challenges that we face, but...
I think more so...
Which was very wise.
Yeah, I think it's more the case that everybody's individual, and so somebody can be quite able and there'll be people who are less able. And it's just about expecting the best of your children and giving them the most opportunities to achieve everything that they can in life. And, you know, and I think
Say we've got teenagers, we've got a house full of teenagers as well. And, you know, the stuff we've been through with teenagers who don't have Down syndrome, just, you know, when we sometimes say, well, he's got Down syndrome, so that means it comes with a load of stuff and life's automatically tougher. You know, our kids without Down syndrome are tough in different ways. You know, life's tough anyway, isn't it? You know, and he brings so much joy. It's not as simple as just saying, well, actually, there's this condition or there's this label that means that something is going to happen or life's going to be, you know, something we prescribe. Mm. It's just not the case.
Yeah. No. And I think it's about giving opportunities. And I saw that you've written a blog about climbing walking all the 214 Wainwrights in the lakes with Aaron. Well, there's a fair few to climb or walk. But wonder how's that going? But also it's about that kind of thing of taking, you know, our children, you know, and just including them in every experience.
Yeah, so the Wainwrights thing is something I've always wanted to do anyway. And... 214 is a lot. Actually, the reality is, we think it's going to take a while. Yeah. We're in a funny period at the moment because Aaron is of an age and a size where there's no way he's going to get on my back and go up a hill. It's just not going to happen. But he's also not at the age yet where he can go and walk up a great big hill on his own, you know. So it's going to take a long time, but it's something that... he loves being outdoors, we do as a family, you know, so it's very much something that we want to try and do together, and it's something that kind of bonds me to him, him to me as well, yeah.
So you do...
Hopefully something special we can do together.
Yeah, well, that'd be quite amazing if you started doing all of those. I mean, a couple of years back, we as a family, we walked coast to coast along Hadrian's Wall, and Joe would have been 17 then, I think. And you know, that was quite a thing, but we did it.
Okay.
And so it was all doable.
That's amazing.
I also saw that you're raising money for the Down Syndrome Association through running as well. Is that a regular thing or was that a one-off?
It was a one-off. I think the intention was for it to be a more regular thing, but I'm pushing on and my hips are starting. The hips don't lie; they are starting to fall apart slightly.
So you won't be running all the Wainwrights then?
No, probably not. That doesn't sound very likely right now. No, we are very passionate about Down Syndrome Association actually as a couple, as a family, and so I mean one of the things we do, as I say, we work with schools. And while running has slightly gone off the agenda, certainly for the time being, Nicole and I have both been down to the Down Syndrome Association and experienced some of their training, which is amazing. And because we wanted to pass on what we'd learnt to those at Aaron's school, so his teachers and his TAs, you know, we had the conversation about saying, would it be possible for any of the teachers to go down and you know, take part in any of the training? But of course you can imagine how much that costs to put cover in and actually get there and accommodation and everything. So when you look at what the budget is for the year for the school, you go, there's no chance that it's ever going to happen. So we arranged for somebody from the DSA to come up and run training up here in Lancashire. And then we've invited schools to come along and put sessions on, and we've got our next one next week actually. So that's something that we're able to do.
That's absolutely brilliant, because it's about education, like you say, and it's getting people to sort of know the expectations and not just to say, oh, well, they've got Down syndrome, you know, put them in the corner and, you know, it's what they used to do in the old days. So what you're doing is absolutely brilliant to get the schools to expect something and to push our kids as far as possible, you know. So
hopefully.
So I can see that you're doing as much as you can to make Aaron's future as good as possible. So what are your hopes and dreams and ambitions for his future?
I think what's really important on that point of view from our side of things, really, is, you know, go back to what that doctor said to us. It was really, really formative in our, for our experience, because we do take one thing at a time. So we try not to think about what kind of, you know, limitations or any delays that Aaron might have. And of course, they're unavoidable. But we still like to think of Aaron being able to achieve anything. Yeah. I think that's really helpful for us to take that attitude to things. So he's never actually, you know, we're not overly pushy,
no.
But he's never failed to achieve anything. You know, we don't want to be the ones that hold him back. So we're working on that assumption as we look forward, you know.
Yeah,
anything that he can't do, we treasure him, we encourage him, we stay by his side. But above all, actually, you know, a bit like what the teacher said, his head teacher, where he ended up at school, she said, you know, he's going to be loved and accepted and part of things, and he'll get a really good education as well. I think that's our starting point.
Yeah,
we want him to know he's loved and accepted, and we're excited. We're excited about his future. He's amazing. He's so brave and courageous. You know, we feel very privileged and blessed, even, that we're able to walk through life with him. So we're excited about what he's going to do. We're just going to let him do whatever he wants to do, really.
Lovely. Well, I was just chatting to Jane before, and we were just talking about what we expect for our kids. And I think it's giving them the opportunities and letting them achieve as much as possible and helping them along the way. But also, I mean, like any of our kids, we want them to be happy.
Yeah.
And just to enjoy life and be good people, really.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think that's the main thing, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, I mean, as a father of a child with Down syndrome, I mean, looking to the future, is anything that you might worry about?
Yeah, it's the flip side of the same coin, isn't it? You know, that we want him to know that he's always loved and accepted, and we worry that he won't be loved and accepted and understood. I worry about the world he's growing up in. It's not the kindest place, you know. We have all those worries about all our other kids, you know, like anybody else does. Aaron's got a vulnerability about him. I'm worried that he's seen as a disability, as a, you know, a label, actually, you know, dare I say a burden. He's none of those things. The truth is he's none of those things. I worry people won't see his worth, what, you know, what his potential is, what his innate value is. We are very, very grateful that he's got his siblings who are just amazing with him, who will do anything for him. But you know that, and hopefully it's a long, long way off, but when we're not around, you know, I'm his dad. I want to fix everything for him. I want to make everything okay, you know.
And if possible, if there's anything that you would change about the world we live in, I think you probably approached that already about, you know, changing people's, how people see him. But, I mean, is there anything that you would change about the world that we live in that would make the most difference for him?
Yeah, I think, I know I've touched on it a little bit. I would like to kind of bottle up the conversations that we've had where people have just got it and say, look, actually, yeah, this is the reality. It is hard, you know, the stuff. We go from month for months and months where we, from September, October to March-ish, she just rolls from one cold or infection to the next, and so we don't get much sleep in that, you know, and so it's hard. But everything else that, you know, in terms of who he is and the joy he brings, it completely outweighs everything. And if there was a way of that being bottled up and put in front of people to say, look, you know, when you're thinking about making a decision about whether you carry on with a pregnancy, or whether, you know, you're thinking about how you approach someone with Down syndrome, or how you relate to a family of a child with Down syndrome, then there doesn't need to be any fear in anything, you know. There doesn't need to be any hesitation or you holding back. My experience is that whenever anybody comes into contact with Aaron and they maybe get down on his level physically, or you know, when they make eye contact with him, or when they speak to him, their experience is one of, oh gosh, okay, he's amazing. You know, it's not, oh crikey, what am I supposed to do now? And actually, if you do, if that's how you come into that experience, that contact with someone like Aaron, I guess like anything, you're gonna get out what you put in, aren't you? But he, I know I'm repeating myself, but he's very precious. I wish there was a way of, like I say, bottling that up and feeling it to everybody.
No, I think you're describing what we all feel about our children, and you know how we just feel that they're absolutely wonderful human beings, and we just want to share them with everybody and just say how great they are.
Yeah.
So a couple of quick fire questions about Aaron. If you had to pick one word to describe him, what would it be? And also, what makes you most proud of Aaron?
So, in terms of what makes me most proud of him, he is a soldier. He's so brave. There's loads of stuff he comes across. So, appointments at the hospital when finding a vein to get blood out of him have been hell.
Yeah.
You know, new situations that you can tell he struggles a little bit with, things like transitions at school, and some teachers will naturally just get him more than others. You know, as I say, over winter he struggles with his health quite a bit, and often he often doesn't understand what's happening.
Yeah.
You know, why he has to do certain things, why things are a struggle, but he just somehow really bravely gets on with it. You know, as his parents and his family, we'll spot when his face changes and his eyes don't look quite as bright as they usually do, and you can tell he's feeling anxious.
Yeah.
But he always insists on pressing on. He wants to keep going.
Yeah.
So he's really brave.
Great.
He's really brave.
Yeah.
And maybe that's the word as well.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard to come up with a word, isn't it?
Yeah,
we do actually wonder, you know, sometimes we say to ourselves, is he real?
Is he?
You know, because he's not oblivious to the struggles he has. He knows the struggles that he's got. He knows the things that he's facing that are hard. But he faces everything with a smile on his face the vast majority of the time. You know, I think that's counter to lots of impressions that we have of what Down syndrome means for people, doesn't it?
Yeah.
He's aware of what's going on, and he's aware of his own struggles. But we go, how do you manage to do that? Are you real?
and finally, I think this podcast is going to be, well, definitely be on the Down Syndrome Association website, and a lot of the people who go there would probably be parents who've just had a child with Down syndrome. I mean, you know, is there any advice or words of wisdom that you can give to them, maybe? I'll put you on the spot there.
I kind of don't feel like I'm in a position to give any advice. I know we're so early on in the process, but I do know that one thing we wish we knew so much earlier, or kind of got our heads around earlier, is, you know, Aaron doesn't have any heart condition.
Yeah.
He doesn't have any tummy problems or anything. You know, he has quite serious delays in his development, but there's no underlying health issues at all that sometimes Down syndrome can come with. And that meant sometimes we felt like complete frauds as parents. You know, we saw other families going through really tough stuff that kind of made us feel a bit like Aaron's struggles were insignificant. And I think if I would say anything, it would be, look, this is your little boy, your little girl, and whatever the reality is what the reality is. And it can be tough. It can be quite isolating and lonely, and we can feel really misunderstood. We can feel really oversensitive, overprotective sometimes. I think, especially as a dad, as a man, I think it's okay to feel the weight of it.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's okay to acknowledge that it's tough and talk it through, and you know, and actually just say, you know, this, we're not frauds. Gosh, this is full on stuff, but the. There's so much gold in it as well.
Yeah.
I wish we'd had a handle on that a little bit sooner. You know, be prepared for it to be tough and a fight, and you're going to have to fight for stuff. But
I think
there would never be a question in my mind to say that it's worth the fight.
Yeah.
Is you know, one of the greatest blessings, one of the greatest gifts of our life, for sure.
Yeah, I think when Bill was born, we spent a lot of time kind of early intervention and flashcards, and sometimes it was a case of just like stepping back and saying, do you know what, let's just enjoy this tiny little thing in front of us. You know, and I think that's probably what I'd say to people who've just had a child, just enjoy it, you know. You know, it's gonna like you say, it's gonna be tough, but there's gonna be a lot of laughs and there's gonna be a lot of fun as well. And
most certainly.
So it's been a real pleasure to spend time with you, Ian, and to hear about all the things that you're doing. And, you know, I've said it before and I'll say it again, we're so fortunate that we have people like you who are out there doing good things for our children, but also for the wider community. So I'm going to say thank you, Ian, and please say hello to Aaron from all of us, and I hope you get to climb all of those hills.
Great. Thank you, Richard.
Good. My name is Richard Bailey. Please do look out for more podcasts under the Shifted Perspectives headline. Thanks again, Ian.
Thank you.